Okay, today we begin Simon Pei Dalid. Dine Toiloyim. These are halachis that have come to the forefront of kashrus in the last decade. The fact is that there were major issues in kashrus all the generations. Just because of the different insecticides that existed when we were growing up, the mitzius of toiloyim was less frequent. But today, with the banning of DDT and other insecticides, it's become more common to have problems with toiloyim. Now,
did they know about this in Europe,
it was a major issue. We're going to see. When people say that they've never heard of such a thing, it's all new things, it's sheker v'chazav. It's a lie, because we're going to learn, we'll see the tshuvas and what's written, all the generations. There were always major issues with insects in water, with insects and bugs. We're going to learn about times that the Taz brings where Erev Shavuos, they acid all the bread in town, all the challis, because there were worms in the flour. These are things that were much more common once upon a time than today. And it's just that we went through a stage of 40 years when we were growing up where it was not a problem, and that's why there's a certain skepticism regarding shratzim. Now, a few hakdamis are in order. First of all, stuff in the very beginning. Not all shratzim are created equal. Not all insects have the same din. I guess halacha would be much easier if all insects would just be aser, and then it would be a shorter simon. In fact, it's not so. You see the introduction, the title to this simon is Din Shratzim and Ansan B'mayim, B'peiros, B'kemach, B'gvina. Now this simon is actually four sections. Shratzim in water, Shratzim in fruits or vegetables, Shratzim in flour, and Shratzim in cheeses. Those are the four sections of this simon that we're going to learn. Mayim is the shortest one, the first three sifim, and I think we'll be able to finish it today, even with an introduction, Mitzvah Shem. The Torah, as you know, asers three types of shratzim. The Torah doesn't say all shratzim are asr. The Torah asers sheret ha-mayim, sheret ha-oif, and sheret ha-sheres ala aretz. The Torah says that it's asr to eat insects if they fall under one of three categories: flying insects, crawling insects, and swimming insects. Those are the three that are asr. Can anybody think of any insects besides swimming, crawling, and flying? What? Hopping. Oh, grasshoppers. Okay. There are insects. Okay, you're gonna have to follow the next nekuda, which is probably very important. For generations, human beings believed in spontaneous generation. That includes the Rambam and great thinkers and geniuses of previous generations believed in spontaneous generation. Spontaneous generation means that there are some shratzim, some insects, which are created in fruit or in a spoiling matter. The idea was that these shratzim are not born from a mother and father sheretz, but that these shratzim come about spontaneously from decaying matter. And as recently as a century ago, the Aruch HaShulchan writes for Pashtus, he says, what's the difference between the word sheretz, ha-sheretz al-oretz, and the word reimes, ha-oretz? So Aruch HaShulchan writes that the difference is that a ma bein sheretz ha'aretz lo bein remes ha'aretz, sheretz ha'aretz mikri oisam shratzim sheparim v'rabim mezachar nekeva. Shratzim are creatures that are born from a mother and father. There are other insects that are born spontaneously from decaying meat, decaying matter. As a matter of fact, as we're going to see, we're going to talk about shratzim that are created in fruits. Now, let's just talk for a minute, accepting the idea of spontaneous generation. What? We're going to see. We're going to see. In Lomdis, yes. Mitzias, we'll have to see. But it is the same. If you have a sack of flour and there are no insects, and suddenly there are insects in the sack, then that's also considered in this category. Now, these creatures, these insects, are not osir. You're allowed to eat them. Because they're not sheretz ala aretz, they're not sheretz amayim, and they're not flying insects. They're shrotzim, which came into existence on a fruit. Now, if the fruit is mechubal lekarka, if the fruit is attached to the ground, then that's sheretz ala aretz. Then that's still awesome. If as the fruit is connected to the ground, there are insects that are found in it, and you detach it, so it's already a sheretz ala aretz. But if you have insects, such as in flour, which when it's stored becomes wormy, when it's stored for an extended period of time, that would not be considered a sheretz ala aretz until it crawls out of its fruit or out of its flour and crawls on the earth. Then it becomes a sheretz ala aretz. But kol zaman it's in the fruit, it's mutter. Furthermore, as applies to mayim, the Torah refers to nechalim, refers to shrotzim that come in streams of water. From that we derive that a sheretz hamayim is only a sheretz in certain bodies of water. But let's say you have a bucket of water, and the sheretz is created spontaneously in the bucket of water. So we're going to have now beferish, right in the first words of the siman, that shrotzim hakedalim b'mayim shebekalim, shrotzim that are created in the water in a bucket, kalim, shebebayra shichin umarais. Not only that, but if you have them, they come into existence in a bar of water. You have, I'm not talking now about a well that has underground springs. I'm talking about a well that gathers the rainwater. Bayra shichin umarais, a cistern, she'inam naivin, which are not flowing, there's no source. Mutarim. Afapishemlam stapi vikaskeses. It's not because they're fish. And they have, these things don't have scales and fins. And they're mutter. Why are they mutter? Because that's the aside with which we begin the siman, that creatures which are created, not al ha'aretz, and they're not flying creatures, and not created in the chalim, in flowing water, these things are mutter. You'll ask me, how are we supposed to understand it today? We understand that there's no such thing as spontaneous generation. That no living creature could have life unless it traces itself back to the first day of when each type of creature was created. And it doesn't have life unless it has a Elter Zeda that was there by Adam Arishan. So how do we understand, assuming science is correct today, which I think we all assume, it could be in 100 years they'll assume differently, I don't know, but today we assume it's so. So how do you understand this? So this has been addressed by a number of Gedolei Yisrael over the generations. And the Chachmas Adam goes back to a Chachmas Adam. Chachmas Adam probably also believed in spontaneous generation. But nevertheless, they say the following. The halacha is that a living creature which is not visible to the eye is not considered, it doesn't exist as far as Hilchas Kashrus is concerned. If you have a creature which is too small to be seen, which can't be seen, then it's mutter. The Chachmas Adam writes that the avir, the air, is full of bacteria. The Chachmas Adam was about 250 years ago. So they knew then already that there are microorganisms all over the place. And he writes that if you would have a magnifier, a microscope, you would see creatures all over you, all over the place. I once saw an article, and it was by Rabban Soloveitchik, a Talmud that wrote a shir of his, He said the Gemara says that the Ashedim, Mazikim, all over the place. And if your eye could see them, you'd go nuts because they crowd up the whole world. There's no room to move without bumping into them. That's what Gemara says in the beginning of Brachas.
You can see when one light comes into the room.
Okay. One second. But he writes there that it could be these mazikim are the bacteria. The bacteria, which are mazikim, which are all over the place. And it's mamash like the Lashon HaGemara. The world is full of billions of them, and you can't move without bumping into them. And if you could see them, you'd go nuts. So we think of demons with pitchforks. So he says, no, it means the bacteria, the mazikim that are all over you. At any rate, as far as the halach is concerned, these mazikim, these creatures are mutter. There's no issur to eat these creatures, as long as they're not visible. Okay, we're going to have to get to what's called visible. But what's not visible is mutter. When we talk about creatures that are created in water, that are created in Paris, what we're really talking about are creatures that had a mother, that laid an egg, or even that gave birth to a creature, and it was not visible to the eye. At that time it was mutter. And it became visible to the eye as it ate, and it grew. The creatures eat and grow, and then suddenly they become visible. At the time they become visible, as far as halach is concerned, that's when they're created. And when we're going to talk throughout this siman about creatures that are created in the kemach, or creatures that are created in the peiris, if you take fresh flour, a hundred pound sack of flour, and you sift it through the finest sifter you could have, and then you put it into storage for a few months, once it's cold storage, you put it into regular storage, you will have worms. Even though you sifted it, and there was nothing that got sifted out. How tidy is a grain of flour? So these things are as tidy as that, and tinier. And therefore, they're not considered to exist until they come into existence. And that's what I'm saying it once for the whole life of Simon Pei David, I mean for our lives, but I'm sure someone who's not here this week will come a different week and say, what, you believe in that, in spontaneous generation? So we'll get to Chazaret. But this is the Hagdama to the Simon. The Hagdama to the Simon is not all insects are awesome. It has to fall under one of the three categories, Sheretz HaMayim, Sheretz HaAretz, or Sheretz HaOif. And again, the important thing is that if it's in the fruit or the produce, when it's connected to the ground, that's a Sheretz HaAretz. But as soon as it's detached and it's not there, if the creatures come later, then that's not something that the Torah asked.
Yeah, but in the introduction, since we have the same standard with the grasshoppers, there are some grasshoppers we know which are mutter and some which are usher.
Because the Torah speaks specifically about simonim for grasshoppers, which is a separate simon. Well, hopefully we'll learn it.
Since we're not bakiyim in these things, obviously, don't we assume, isn't there a masorah that we don't eat any insects like this?
Whether the masorah, okay, the question is, we don't eat anything without a masorah. We don't eat animals or birds or anything without a masorah. It's true, but we have a Masorah that the insects that are created here are mutter. That's what we're going to learn. This is the Masorah, the symbol we're learning. The only reason we don't know is because we have never learned Hilchos Tehillim, but we're learning it now, so we'll become the king.
It makes no difference whether they're in egg form or they're actually...
It doesn't matter. If they're egg form, if they're not visible, then they don't exist as far as halach is concerned.
I was saying, this is what the Rambam meant when he...
I can't say that's what the Rambam meant. It depends on your hashkafa. There are Yidden with Emunah Pshuta, and when the Rambam writes certain things, they say the Rambam only wrote it. The Rambam writes that the Rambam clearly understood that the sun goes around the earth. Clearly, the Rambam understood the sun goes around the earth. I once listened to a tape of a shiur on astronomy given by a very knowledgeable person in Satmar. I got it in Monroe. They were selling tapes, and it was a shiur. So he started off the shiur by saying that he's not committing himself. He doesn't know if the earth goes around the sun or the sun goes around the earth. He's not committing himself, and if they want to discuss it, he's not getting into it. All right, the Rambam says the sun goes, that the earth goes around the sun. Now, that the sun goes around the earth. So I don't know. Science has changed for many of its things, but today we understand that the earth goes around the sun. The Rambam says differently. So the Rambam wrote, Kefi Chachma Sazman. Now, people say, not allowed to say that, but his son says that. That everything in the Gemara is kefi chachmas hazman, the science. Whatever is a Messiah, a Kabbalah, is a Kabbalah. Whatever we apply kafi chachmas hazman. Eilocha elachacham shebizmaneinu. Eilocha elanavi shebizmaneinu. So my understanding is that the Rambam did believe in spontaneous generation. He may yet end up right. He may yet end up, our kids might say that we once rejected it. But right now, we understand that there's no such thing as spontaneous generation, and that's where we're going to learn this in. It's not a chesar and emuna to believe that the Rambam was a genius and a gadol hador. And whatever he got from Messiah, we accept 100%. And whatever he applied the science of the times, we learn with the science of the times. Now that Akdama aside, yeah. The reason the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say if it's invisible, it's a problem, is because the Shulchan Aruch never saw the things that were invisible. So you don't have to tell people that invisible things are mutter. The Chachmas Adam was only 150 to 200 years after the Shulchan Aruch. He already, there were microscopes, and he already saw things that are invisible. So he writes in Chachmas Adam that the things that are not visible to the naked eye are mutter.
Even if they have a mother and father?
Even if they have a mother and father. Because they're not created in the eyes of Hilchas Kashrus until they become visible.
So all
no, if they're shayritz ala aretz, they're still aser. As soon as they crawl on the ground, they're aser.
As soon as they're visible.
While they're not visible, they're mutter. When they become visible and crawl on the shayritz ala aretz, or an anachal, then they become aser.
So they became visible in the sack of flour and never left.
So we're going to learn what's the problem with the sack of flour, so we're going to wait. I'll keep you in suspense till we get to it. What can be a problem with a sack of flour? It's a sealed sack. In the chinam, shukmar tos. Okay, this is a second Hagdama, which is also important. And it's especially important to the water shaila, which we're going to learn in a few minutes. Over the generations, Gedolei Yisrael were mitztayer tuva about the insect problem. You'll see the Rebbeinu Sanayipshitz, the Aruch HaShulchan, and everyone in between, the 200 years in between, they try to be melamed tzchus on Klal Yisrael because the insect problem was such a severe problem and it was so difficult to avoid eating insects that it was very depressing. You know, you eat something, eat strawberries, you find out there's a problem. You've been eating it for the last 2 months. Or you're like we're going to have the Taz brings that one Erev Shavuos, they found there were problems with all the flour. And the ones they found that after Shavuos, you know, I'm not entirely eating challahs that were awesome. So there are a number of big yisaidis of limud schus on Klal Yisrael. There are four major limud schus. We're going to get to them later. I only want to mention one now because, as we'll see in a few minutes, it's very nagah to the bug in the water shayla. The Shiva Siyain, Nebihuda's son, wanted to be melamed schus on all insects that are not eaten the kavana, based on the concept of misasek. What is a misasek? Misasek is someone who's niskavin lahagbias atolush v'hagbias amachover. Someone sees a tomato on the ground on Shabbos, and he thinks, oh, the tomato fell. He picks it up, and he finds the tomato is still attached to the ground, and he just ripped it out of the ground. So the halacha is he doesn't have to bring a carbon. That's called a misasek. He was trying to do A, and he did B. He was mechavim for a davar al mutter, and he did a davar aser. He was Isaac in one thing, Isaac like bias a talush, vik bias a mechover. Now there's a machloikis and klal gadol between Abai and Rava. If it's dafka, if he meant to pick up one tomato, he picked up a different one by mistake. Or if he picked up that tomato, he intended. I believe Rava, the way we paskin, is even the same one. Is a misasek. The taina is now akidekach. There's a machlokes Rabbi Akiva and the Chavos Das. How to answer somebody who has chametz and is unaware of it? Why are you over on this chametz? You're a misasek. You're walking in the street. You think you don't have chametz and you really do have chametz. Why aren't you a misasek? So that is an argument, which if you're not a misasik there, if whatever the exception is, which hopefully we'll get to when we get to in Shulchan Aruch. But the time of the Shiva Siyain was that if you eat lettuce, and there are creatures in the lettuce, You're a mesasek l'gabi the creatures. You're eating lettuce, you're not eating bugs. And since you're eating lettuce, you're not eating bugs, you're a mesasek ba'al. That heter was rejected by all the other gedalim. The truth is, even before him,
it's
a heter to eat it. If I'm going to eat lettuce. If there are bugs or not,
I'll pick it up. Maybe it won't be tallish.
Okay. Without checking. So the way that is a very important. The way of Shlomo Zalman brings down the reason that a Paiskim rejected the Shiva Siyai. He says you can't take a peanut butter sandwich and say, I don't like peanut butter, but I like the bread, so I'll eat the bread, and the peanut butter I'll suffer with. So I'm a misasik, look, I'll be the peanut butter. If you know the peanut butter is there, you're not a misasik.
You're allergic to peanut butter.
So he says, if you have lettuce, now let's eat a piece of licorice, and there's really a bug on it, so you're a misasik. You'll never know it, but you're a misasik. But if you're eating lettuce, lettuce come with bugs. That's the way lettuce are delivered. You can't say you're misasek lagabi the lettuce, because you're not a misasek. You're eating something which comes that way. It comes coated with lettuce. So, okay, that's the rejection of the hetero misasek. I want to come back to it.
You check if somebody checks and it ends up you miss the boat.
Technically, it should still be mutter like the Shiva Tzion.
No, but would others agree with the Shiva Tzion in that? If somebody checked,
you mean if someone checked that he thinks there's nothing there?
You put it in salty water, you check.
Sure,
it
could be.
We
don't say misasik b'chalavim over araya shekei nehena. But by bugs, there's no shekei nehena. Because you don't have a mouth for the bugs, he speaks this out. And the mela,
You
when Good Humor, they found in their ice creams roach parts, and they put out a statement saying that they're not unhealthy. As a matter of fact, they have protein. That was a major problem. First, it was a public relations disaster because people didn't care. And second of all, if you eat it for protein, you're going to have a problem. But anyway, Lamai said there's no shekein nehena. So this was the Shiva Tzion's heter. However, as I say, it's rejected, but we're going to see shortly. By 9:45, Yitz Hashem, we'll see where it does come lamais.
You need
those two agdamas, let's start. The Misasik doesn't need tshuva. Okay, let's start the Simon. In the regular ones, you have the newfangled ones. So, Simon Pei Dalid. In all Shulchan Aruchs, it's between Pei Gimel and Pei Hei. So which simon does that start with?
Pei Zayin.
So it's the one before. Okay. The simon begins as follows. Okay, sorry.
With the advanced class.
Simon Aleph. Shvatzim agedelim b'mayim shebekelim v'shebevay reshichen umaris. Bay reshichen umaris are always mentioned together in Mishnayis. And there's a gra in Mesechtes Kelim or Alois who says, why are Bayri Shichan and Maris always mentioned together? Because Hashem gave water for three primary purposes, for drinking, bathing, and laundering. So Bayri Shichan and Maris, a bar is a bar Hamayim that's used for drinking water, to store drinking water. Shiach is a long stream of water, as the Shach Beis teaches them. Shiach Arucha Uktsara. It's a long, narrow canal of water which was used to launder. And Ma'arais are water in caves where people went to the cave. You have the privacy to bathe. So that's why Baruch Shichan Umaris I mentioned. It's not a halachic nafkamina, just that's the expression. They're all places where water is collected. She'enam Naivim, that don't have a water source. Mutarim, they're all permitted. Afal Pishen Lem, Snapi Vikaskesis. They're not mutter because they're fish. They're creatures, separate creatures. Lefikach, shaycha, v'shaysa mehem, v'ein echayshish l'tshuratim shabem, im yizdamnu l'teich piv. And therefore, you're allowed to bend down and drink from the virus, and you don't have to worry if insects come into your mouth. Now, as an aside, the Paiskim ask, what about Baltashaktsim? So the Taz, in Sivkot and Beis, says, what about Baltashaktsim? So he says, That's not disgusting to you. But if it's meus to you, it's certainly if it's dangerous. Kasav Rambam says because we say the osir mishum bal tishak zu chen kasav marshal. Now what's the chiddush of this taz? It's a big chiddush in this taz. The taz says that bal tishak zu depends on you. Something that's bal tishak zu to you, that's bal tishak zu. If it's not bal tishak zu to you, then it's not bal tishak zu. That's what he says. It seems he doesn't know God bless the right volume.
Even though
the Shach, the Berhetev. First of all, look at Shach Gimel. We'll turn the page to the Berhetev. Shach Gimel, Lefik of Shais of Shais, Man Mashra, Filim Mishum Bal Tishach, Tzuein Bam. Chekos of Arab, Sefer Achinach, Kusamach Gimel, the Feirish, Avagam Galelsim Yud Gimel, Chekos of Arab, that Filu Dogim Tayrim, Osaloy Chlam Chayim, Mishum Bal Tishach, you're not allowed to eat live fish, even goldfish, Mishum Bal Tishach, it's not clear what the Shach means. The Shach says it's not about the Shach too, because it's not your Kavana, and therefore there's no about the Shach. The Berhetev, if you turn the page, brings Ben means they're not by themselves. They're mixed into the water, so that's not discussed. He brings on the second line of the Berhetev, Kasa Pri Chadash. He argues with the Taz. He says, that the chol ma she'ein regilim ha'olam la'oichlai u'bedilim imenu nikramos. Anything that the world, the olam, doesn't eat because it's disgusting, that's called ma'os ve'ein la'oichlai. V'ilididei ma'os, after l'kuli alma lo'i ma'os. If to him it's disgusting, even to the rest of the world, it's not disgusting. Broccoli? Koshkein da'asa l'didei mishum bal tishaksu. The cholze any element rabbanan they not makanoise makas maridis. I guess I don't know he means cholze, but he says that bal tishaktu is either the worst of the two, either you or the entire world. If it's disgusting to you, then it's bal tishaktu. The shach I don't know. The shach is unclear. He seems to argue with the Taz.
Right, that's not bal tishaktu.
Taz appears to say that it depends if it's me as to you. And he's saying it depends if it's mius to you or chalaylam. It's possible that the Taz held it's not mius to chalaylam, and that's why it depends on you, and then it's not a machlok. So that part is unclear. That's what it says in the Berhetev. Yeah, okay. That's why I read the Berhetev. He says if to you it's mius, then it's about the shaksu.
Someone says on the
water. This water that we're talking about, you have to know beforehand that there's nothing there.
That's about the shak too.
That there's no
about the shak too.
There's no worms in there. There's no visible worms beforehand.
What do you mean? We're just learning that you're allowed to drink it, even if there are visible worms.
Where did these worms come
from? Oh, okay. We'll get to that. So good question. Okay, one second.
So the whole thing
that's what
the whole thing went out to the water. If someone's disgusted and says, "Ew, there's bugs," it's awesome to him.
If it's disgusting to him, then it's awesome.
Not allowed to drink it.
Or what are we? If you can't see it, we'll have to discuss that. If you can't see
I'm
it, but yes,
in
right.
I mentioned this in originality.
Okay. Now, getting back, I want to get back to Hilchos Shvatim, and then we'll discuss that. So if it's not disgusting to eat things which he knows are there but can't see, then it's okay.
Now, if he knew it was there, if he knew for sure it was there, it would be disgusting.
Yeah. So I guess if Moshe Matzev is not disgusting, then it's not about the Shabbat.
Some sense,
but that's Moshe to the child.
He says so.
If you put some ketchup on it, it's not Moshe anymore.
No, child is not Shabbat.
The truth is, I don't know. Can't answer you. I can't answer you. I don't know. Okay, now let's get back to the water problem. Let's finish the Aleph and Beis, and then we'll discuss the water issue. What's crucial are the parentheses that turn the page. The Ramah, Aval Asa Lishay Bekli V'Lishdais Mehen. Now immediately you realize that this Ramah changes the whole world. Aval Asa Lishay Bekli V'Lishdais Mehen. This big heter we learned today, that bugs in water are mutter, is only if you bend down and suck it out of the bar. But if you take a cup And Yeshayev Mayim, the Ramah says it's us. Now let's wait. I'm not going to learn the Ramah until we finish the Sif. But as you see, this would immediately change the whole heter. And let's wait. Zakti Shulchan Aruch Vayit. In Pirshu Mamakim Riviyasan. Let's say you have bugs in a bar, which are mutter, and they're pirish. They separated themselves. They crawled out.
What's the
taicha
that
Mamakim
Riviyasan?
If they separate Mamakim Riviyasan, the place they were created. They separate from Makam Riviyasan, the place in which they were created, Pru Ravu, Riviyasan. Kugai Lachare Abar, they climbed up onto the bar. Oyal Svasa Klima Bechutz. Or even if they're in a pitcher, and they were Riviyasan was in the pitcher. Now they climb on the outside of the pitcher, Afal Pisha Chazru, even though they went back into the water, Asurim. But Mistame, Loch Hashem Apirshu. But Stame, you don't have to be Chayshish that they crawled out. Important halacha. They climb on the inside of the keli, that's mutter. Now what's the logic? What's the inside of the keli or the outside? So Taz Dalit says, Hainu revisayu, that's how they grow. They grow inside keli, crawling on the inside of the keli. So that is included in the heter. So what we've learned in Sif Aleph, insects that are created in water, even if they crawl on the inside of the bar or on the inside of the keli, the mutter, once they go outside, they go leaves, then they're sheretz ala aretz, and then they remain us. That's the rule. Sif beis, I will come back to sif aleph. Hagedelim b'mayim shebacharitzim v'ni'itzim, things that grow in bodies of water, sheheim meishchin ve'einam naivim, that flow but don't have a water source. Meishchin means they have a water inlet and a water outlet. There's water coming in, there's water going out, but they have no origin of water themselves. These are our reservoirs. Most of our reservoirs are sif beis. They're bodies of water that don't have natural springs. Now, there are some cities that have water. Queens gets the water from aquifers, from under the ground. Which have sources of water. But most of New York City, including Brooklyn, we get our water from upstate reservoirs. These reservoirs don't have original sources of water. However, they have inlets of water and outlets of water. So these things, Yesh Eiser and Yesh Matirin, are our machlokes to Rosh and the Rambam. We're going to have three major machlokes in the Rosh and the Rambam. All three, the Rosh is Mekel, the Rambam is Machmir. And this is the first of them. A machloek is to Rosh and the Rambam, if you go to a reservoir upstate and you want to drink straight from the reservoir, is that water mutter or aser? Like the Rambam, it's mutter. Like the Rosh, it's mutter. Like the Rambam, it's aser. How do we paskin? It's like the shachs of cotton ches. Yesh oisrim, chay pasig marshal pelk al treifis, v'chay mashma das is of a heter. So the shach, when the shach says kain das, he's paskining that way. And prima garden paskins that way. That we paskin lahachmir, so that the reservoir water is problematic, and the creatures there are also. So you have three levels of water. You have water in streams. Everyone holds creatures created there are also. You have water in barrels or bayrais, water tanks. Everyone holds creatures created there are mutter. And you have the reservoir type of situation, a place with an inlet and outlet of water, but the water is... it doesn't have an original source. The machlekes the Rosh and the Rambam, and it's a tziruf. If there will be sveikis, we could be mitzaref the Rosh Hashita. But la halacha, it's still us. I didn't talk about halacha yet. I'm so far talking about drinking straight from the reservoir. I'm talking about drinking straight from the reservoir. It's awesome. You can't bend down and drink water straight from the reservoir if there are creatures in that water. Okay. Wait a second. Before we get to Lamaisa, we have to go through the background. Let me just finish this topic. Now, the Ramah would also holds the Eishayim. He's Saisim. So la halacha we answer these bugs.
Which was not a keli. Keli is the only talish.
Okay, a bar does not have to be a keli. A bar will be the
reservoir.
A reservoir is not a keli. It has a water inlet, a water outlet. That's mayim amoshchem veinam naivim. It flows and doesn't have a source.
If there's an inlet, what's the difference whether there's a well, a spring source, or is it where there's an inlet?
Every water has to come from somewhere. It's not about Moshe means an inlet and an outlet. It flows. Moshe means it flows. There's an inlet and no outlet, then there's no, that's not Moshe. Okay. Now, before you think, what? Drawing from a keli, that's what I want to get back to. Let's understand, I'll take the questions, let's just follow through what we're discussing. Before we talk, everyone's thinking about our insects. Let's go a step at a time. We learned the lumdis now. Three types of water sources. Water in the cholim, anything with a source, creatures created, they are aser. Bayrish, shichin, umaris, and kalim is mutter. And in between is a machlek, zorosh, and the rambam, and we're machmir. Although the shulchan aruch says yesh ha'isav yesh matirim, which means the apaskim that are mekel. Now, because it has an inlet and an outlet. Anything that has water flowing in and flowing out is meishchim. Meishchim veinam naivim. It flows and it doesn't have a source. And there was no machlaikis in the whole water dispute about the status of a reservoir. A reservoir has water coming in, water going out, and it's definitely sifbeis. That was not part of the dispute. Now, what about mutadika water? You have water in a bar. The Ramah said that if you draw out water in a with a keli, that is still aser. What's the hesber? Why should it be worse if I draw it out with a keli? Why should that be mutter? And even worse, the Ramah in Sif Gimel is going to say that if you have water in a keli, which is mutter, insects which are created in a keli, you're allowed to pour it from one keli to the next. The Ramah is going to say at the end of Sif Gimel, you're allowed to put water. Yeah, you have a pitcher of water, insects that were created, that came into existence there. You're allowed to pour it into a second pitcher. So why can't I take from the bar and be shayiv from the bar? What's the difference? So, now obviously, the crucial question to this will be, one second, before your answer, I'll tell you Shachan Taz's answer. Nafkamina will be, if we have mutadika water, we have water in a community that has water in virus, that gathers rainwater, and that's the source, and you have pipes that are bringing the water to your home, does that become awesome? So that depends on the two terutzim, the explanation of the first Ramah, the one which I said we'll come back to, and the Shach and Sifkat and Dalit, and Taz and Sifkat and Hey, each has his explanation, and the explanations are as follows. The Shach maintains that the rule of Hainu Revisayu, that things are mutter in the place where they begin, things are mutter in the place they come from, applies only to Mokim Revisayu, the place they grow. If a creature comes into existence in a keli, then it's mutter in any keli. You can pour it from one keli to the next. If a creature comes into existence in a bar, then when you put it into a keli, that's not Revisayu. It didn't start in the keli. It started in a bar. So the reason that you're not allowed to remove it is because it's not Revisayu. It's not the place it came into existence. It's now a Sheretz HaMayim. It's in a Mayim, which is not its original place. That's the Shach's Chiddush. That's the Shach's explanation. So if it came into existence in a keli, if you have a building with a big water tank on the roof and has a filter going into the water tank. And you know something? The filters that filter the water going into the water tank, if there are eggs that went into the water tank, they'll still hatch. There's still have creatures there. But those creatures are mutter. They started in a keli. So now, even if they come through the pipes into your sink, they'll be mutter if you know that in the water tank it's mutter. So now it's mutter in your keli too. Because that's kli l'kli. Kli l'kli, Zakta Shach, that's mutter. The Taz has a second explanation. The pipe is also a kli. The Taz has a different explanation. Taz says, no difference bayrais, no difference kalim. He says the reason it's aser, when you're shayev, when you draw it out, if you ever saw the visible insects at the reservoir, they're jumping all the time. They don't stand still. He says you have to be chayshish, you dip the keli in. You have to be chayshish that some insects were on the outside of the keli. They rested on the outside of the keli. And then they ended up somehow in the water. And therefore, when you're shayev, you have to be chayshish. There were insects on the outside of the keli. So really, a bar is the same as a keli. But you have to be chayshish for them on the outside of the keli. Light him, if you have pipes, where there's no possibility that it was on the outside of the pipe. So then, there's no issue.
Why is it pouring from keli to keli?
Pouring from keli to keli is mutter because it can't be on the outside of the keli. When you pour, the insect can't be on the outside. It's only when you shayev, when you stick the keli in and draw it out, and that's the way you're filling up your what's a well? You lower the bucket and you pull it back up. So the chayshish that they rested on the keli. And somehow you're talking about it lowering a bucket into a well. So it was on the outside, and the bucket went down and ended up inside. It ended up inside. You're pulling it up. You're pulling up the bucket. You're pulling up the bucket. You show you not clean.
So,
it goes on top. Well, you're lowering the bucket into the water. So
you don't think from the outside. You think
I understand, but when you lower, if you experiment, lower a thing into water. As it goes down, it's empty. And when it gets low enough, everything starts flowing into it from the outside of it. So now, the Taz and Shach, the Aruch Shulchan brings both reasons. And Lamaisa, the Prichadash writes that pipes are a problem because of the Shach. Pipes are a problem because if it's Yisei Hanu Yisayu in a bar, it's not a heter for a keli. And therefore it's a problem. However, the heter we mentioned earlier, that if something is in a water tank, and in the water tank, insects are created in it, that going through pipes would be mutter mamanashach. Like the Taz, it's mutter, because you're not being shayev b'keili. And like the Shach, it's mutter, because it's mekli l'kli, assuming you accept that a water tank on a roof has a din of a keili. So that would be the situation which is mutter. Now, let's get to a discussion. One more halacha. You have to know it here, even though the Shulchan Aruch brings it later. I told you I have three important machlokes in the Rosh and the Rambam. I mentioned one, and that's the reservoirs. And then we pass on like the Rambam, the Chumra. There's a second machlokes. If it's pirish after it dies, if the insects die in a place where they're mutter, let's say you have water in a bar, and the water, the insects are mutter, and you add chlorine to the water, as they do in New York City, and it appears that the insects all die in the water. I say it appears, I don't have time today, but we'll discuss later the mitzvahs. But it appears that all the insects die because when they check for copepods, they don't find any live ones. Is that called pirish? If it's mutter in a bar, and it dies there, and now you're taking it out, is that called pirish that it should be like yeshayev and it becomes asim? Again, the Rosh is Mekel, Rambam is Machmir, but here Shach Yud Beis is going to Paskin like the Rosh Lakula. That Pirish is only Asa, Pirish Mechayim. You need it to be Shireitz Al Horetz, or to be Shireitz Bimayim. If it's dead, it's not Shireitz, it doesn't move. And therefore, it comes out, we have here a Heter. The Kula is, if you have insects in an environment with their mutter, whether it's a bar or a kli, and then they die in the bar and kli, or even you can kill it deliberately. You can add chlorine because you want to make it mutter. Then that's a heter, which would mean if you have a community that has water that's gathered in Bayreis, Shichin Umaris, or rainwater in Kalim, and then they want to use the water, but they're chayshish for the shach, that it's in the bar. If you're going to put it in a keli, it becomes aser. The chayshish for the shach says, of that Ramah. So the etzah would be to add chlorine to the water, kill the bugs, and then when the bugs come out, they would be mutter. This is the halacha that comes out from the second machlokes, the Rosh and the Rambam. The third one we'll leave for when we get to Paris. But this is the halacha that comes out. So I think I've been pretty clear about the sources of where the bugs are, where they're mutter. The discussion, part of the discussion that Rav Belsky was arguing, and I don't like to speak for someone else because it's a complicated topic, but part of Rebelsky's taina was that all insects come from somewhere. None of them come from nowhere. Everything comes from somewhere. But he argued that the halacha should depend on where you find it. And that insects which are found in tanks should, if they're not found till they're in the tanks, that they should be dvarim hamutarim. That was the original when the tumult started, I was with Rebelsky in Toronto for a chasana. And at the chasana, that's what everyone was talking around. It was very interesting around the table. Of course, all the rest of us had vague memories of learning it once upon a time. Rebelsky knew exactly, you know, Rav Shteit and Shulchan Aruch. But, you know, it's the difference between, you know. But anyway, that was one of his arguments. That argument today is not a strong argument, because the fact is we know with certainty that the copepods not only originate in other environments, but generally don't breed in sitting water. The copepods are not found in aquifers. Queens doesn't have a ship problem. And they're not found. They're found in all moving bodies of water. You find copepods. And originally, I was sure the Kinneret would have the Shiloh, and Eretz Yisrael would have the same Shiloh. But they tested the pH level. You should know, water in Eretz Yisrael is too acidy for these creatures. It somehow fits. Okay, but the Kinneret is a. It doesn't breed any water with a high pH level, with a negative pH level, with acid. Is not going to have the problem, and therefore there are many communities that don't have the problem. Lemaisa, I tell people, and there are differences of opinion among the Rabbanim today. Oh, there's one more nekuda, which is important to the whole siman. How common do creatures have to be aser? If 1 in 100 you find an insect, that's aser. So I'm going to tell you the rule. There's a lot to talk about this. So let me just tell you the rule. We'll argue about it next week. It'll be Shushan Purim anyway. We'll be in a good mood next Sunday. So we'll argue about it. But let me just tell you the klal. It's an important klal. To be, now I'm going to get to that. To be aser min ha-Torah, a fruit or a water source has to be muhzik b'tayloim. Muhzik b'tayloim is a code for 50.1%. Now, right away, you'll jump up and ask 51% of leaves of lettuce, of heads of lettuce, of cases of lettuce. How do you judge that? We'll leave that for next week. Rav Schwab wrote this shaila to Rav Shalom Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rebbe Yashiv, and we have both answers. We'll get to it next week when we talk about payers. But the rule is, muzik b'teiloyim, you need 51%. There's something called a miyot ha-motzui. A miyot ha-motzui is also midrabanan. There's a tshuva in the Mishkan is Yaakov. The main shaila Mishkan of Miur HaMotzi has to do with Hilchas Treifus. When do you have to check the treifus in an animal if it has a Miur HaMotzi? The Mishkan is Yaakov's tshuva is, as far as I know, accepted by all Paiskim. He puts 10% or more, between 10 and 40% as Miur HaMotzi. Under 10% is a Miur She'ein HaMotzi, and you're not obligated to check. You're allowed to eat and drink without checking if it's a Miur She'ein HaMotzi. Even a Miur HaMotzi is a drabanim in Atari Gobas Arayim. Which means, all agree, our water shaila in New York City today is only a Miur HaMotzi, and it's a shaila of a drabanim. Despite the fact that people gave drushes and talked about how many lavim you're over 4 and 5 and 6, and they said the Yen Yisr is only 1 lav, and the Vela is 1 lav, and this is 6 or 7, yeah, that's all nonsense. It's true if you take a copepod and you eat it, that it's a problem. But as far as checking water, everyone agrees, and Rav Pavel Kohn spoke here, there was upstairs in a gathering of Rabbanim, and the first thing they asked, is this a Miur HaMotzi? You're talking about the Raisis of the Rabbanim. The first thing one of the Rabbanim asked, and Rav Pavel said, that we're talking about a Miur HaMotzi, it's a Shalav of the Rabbanim. If you see the insect, that's a Shalav of the Raisis. Because, man, you don't see, just drinking water, we're talking about a Shalav of the Rabbanim. Now, I have to tell you, the Rabbanim we don't take lightly. Most of halacha lemaisa is isurim derabbanan. We're not over derabbanan, chas v'shalom. But it's a shayla of a derabbanan, which, as you know, has different rules. Now, we're going to discuss it. Does miyur hamotzi mean every cup, every pitcher? We'll discuss that in Yitzhak Shem next week. What I tell people is the following. And when I say I would never have a shita, not like the whole world, but I think this is basically the disagreement between the two sides. There are two questions. One is whether you're allowed to drink the water. And the second is whether you're allowed to, I think all Yirei Shemayim in New York have have some type of a filter. I think it's basically all the Rabbanim, I think, are telling people to have filters, whether you hold Zikr Adin or a Chumra, have filters. Agav, if you go to a water fountain, you buy, I get the Shiloh people dating, you know, it used to be the lemon Shiloh, now the Shiloh is whether you can buy Pepsi, because they have, all the water fountains have concentrate, and they use the city water to make your Pepsi. So all water fountains have a triple filter on them. Because Pepsi and Coke are very concerned that the water in any place should not give a bad taste to their product. And therefore, they all come with a triple filter, which is not a problem. What is the Tzad Kula? There's a tshuva in the Maram Shik, tshuva Kufla Medalit in Arachayim. It's not in Yeridei, it's in Arachayim. So he was asked about filtering the water in his community. It sounds kamat like Amamish Awashayla.
Those are two questions. Is it drinking?
One, whether you're allowed to drink it, and second, whether you're allowed to filter it on Shabbos. Those are the two issues which he addresses. And it's clear that he was talking about all the water in his community. Like you say, it's a new Shiloh. He says, the Shiloh begins, Masha Shamata Mimeni. I guess you heard my name. Safik, Misha Nizr, Shloy Lishtes Mayim, Shainim, Sunanim, Mishayla, Niach, Ayade, Isha, Isha, Shashayim, Balaisinim. There were people who drank with some without, whether it's Mutta. So the part that's Negeya to us is the following.
Which one is this?
Kuf Lamed Aleph. The first paragraph. He says the following. He says, but you have to listen to the whole thing. He says, Ein kol ha-mekoy me-shavim b'zeh. Not all places are the same. The vada, yesh be'eros, the shchichi b'am te'loim. There are some where it's more shchiach, and some where there's less shchiach. So what do? You tell someone it's not all the same, what do you do? Mekol ha-mekoy me-shavim b'yayim. If you're drinking water by day, or anytime it's light, u'bekoyis hecha de-shota be'ena. You have a cup which you could look at, you could see the water. And you could see if there's an insect. You look inside. If you don't see anything, you don't have to do anything more. Maybe there's an insect that's not seeable. Don't stop here. You have to let me finish. He says that such a thing does not need to be. If you look into the water, when the tumult started, it was Shabbos, we gave everyone a cup of water around our table, and everyone looked if anybody could see an insect. And nobody saw an insect. He says that's the Ikar Adin, the Chemash Barashi of Aydazar Dafyut Beis, Ken Hu Adin here, Lechem, Medina Emayim Tzrichin Sinun, Vachisugi Di Alma. Ikar Adin, he says about his water, that it doesn't need Sinun. Nevertheless, Yirei Hashem are noyig to filter their water. The Torah was very machmer on shrotzim. There's a shita when the Torah says lahavdil, we shouldn't be samech on roiv. Don't say Cholila that you're not allowed to give someone water to drink because of Lifne Iver. It's not so. So he says basically that Medagdikin Misaninin, that's the expression he uses later, Medagdikin Misaninin, even his water. And he says that on Shabbos it's mutter, because if you hold it's not Mi'ikar Adin, that it's a chumrah. So based on Hilchah Shabbos, I'm not going to get into it because it's late. But he says that on Hilchah Shabbos there's such a halacha, there's something that's roi be'etzem l'shtia, there's no problem with simon. Now, Rav Feivel repeated b'shem Rav Yashiv. He asked him whether you're allowed to filter the water on Shabbos. So Rabbi Yashiv asked him, do Goyim drink the water? Are they makbid? He said, no. He said, then you're allowed to filter it on Shabbos, based on a Gemara, the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if you have wine with pieces, nowadays you have orange juice with pieces, and you don't want the pieces, but many people drink it, you're allowed, l'chatchila on Shabbos, to filter out the pieces of orange, because even though if it would not be roi, it would be aser. the malacha of Bayrer of Sinun is tikkun meichel, is making it edible. And since it's edible anyhow, therefore it's mutter. This is even if you hold that mikra din, you have to do Sinun. So these are the two coolest. Now let me not stop. I said I want to finish. The tzad chumra, even if you hold tzad mikra din, you don't want it that way. That's what the kid, the Mishnah is talking. You don't want pieces, so you're pouring it through a cheesecloth, and it says that it's mutter. Now, the tzad chumra, I just want to finish. The taina back on these two heterim are as follows. On the second heter, a fivel tainid that he says, he realized later he wanted to ask Rabbi Yashav, I don't know if he ever went back and asked him. He said that the goyim drink it because they don't know what's going on. If they would see with their eyes what these things look like, they wouldn't drink it either. That was his timing. Now, kvaydai v'makaymai, I disagree. I saw what they look like, and it doesn't bother me to drink water. You know, I saw plenty of pictures of them, and 1 minute. So that is the disagreement regarding sinun, the apaiskim der amati, the apaiskim der as. Regarding the water itself, there are many gedalei apaiskim who ask it. Dr. Feinstein, I know, holds that it's also mikra adin, and others. What about the Maram Shik? You can't see it. So they argue the following. They argue that an insect which can be seen when it's alive because of its movement, but can't be seen in our water only because it's dead, that's called that it can be seen. Now, they say that's the metzias of the copepods. When they're alive and they're moving in the water, they're visible. And when they're dead, they can't be seen. Now, whether these paiskim asked that it be brought to them, or whether they trusted the people who are coming to them, I have no idea. But this is the chiddush that they write to me. It sounds like a very big chiddush. I don't know. It's possible that it's set up his svara, if Rabbi Yashar said it, or Rabbi Haisi said it, others said it, so it's a svara. Or if Tasla has a makar, so I don't know. But this is the taina of the machmirim, and that if it's visible when it moves, even if it's not visible now because it's dead, that itself constitutes a problem. Parts of the copepod. If the parts of the copepod, all right, let me explain about parts. We're going to discuss this in Mr. Shem next week. We'll get to our Ramah. Again, I try to tell you this, the Das HaMakilim and the Das HaMachmirim, everyone holds Medagdik and Mesaninim, that you should be Medagdik and you should filter. Now, the question, people are very often come to me, they're going for Shabbos to someone and they don't filter their water. What do I do? What do I do? I'm going to them. So, all right, drinking water, so drink Pepsi. You know, other things were mice and nefesh for the Torah, you know. So you drink Pepsi, drink coffee. But what about the challah and the chicken soup? What do we do? So listen very carefully. An experiment was done. Maybe more were done. I have at home the photographs. Were done by somebody who was a trained research scientist. He took water with copepods, put them into test tubes, and put them into bubbling water, into boiling water. And I think I once brought the pictures here. And the fact is that very often they fall apart in the water. Once they fall apart, as you know, a barrier is not bottle. But something that's not, now it's not visible. The dead bugs, if you're not trained, you can't see. It should be bottle. A barrier is not bottle. But now it's not a barrier. As long as, even if just the antenna or the legs dissolve, then it's not a barrier anymore. So therefore, in bubbling water, I could tell people that it's okay. A chicken soup is made with water that's brought to a boil. It's okay. A cholent, certainly, if it comes to a boil, I don't know how they could survive in the cholent anyway. What? That's the din svek sveka. That's the halacha of the Ramah. Suffik, if there was a bug in this particular, it's only a miyat hamatzui. And what? And a second suffik, shemini moach. So that's the Ramah's heter svek sveka, which is a heter. It's not vadai, it's a suffik nimoach. It's not always nimoach in boiling water. Now, the question is, what about a coffee urn? A coffee urn, which is only cooked to 160, 180 degrees, is it nimuach there? So for that, I have no data. I don't know. So I tell people, if you're going to someone for Shabbos, ask them to boil water, and then to put it into the urn. But it should be boiling water, and then you could be samech under Ramah safik nimuach. If someone wants to do an experiment and see at 170 degrees if it's nimuach, or you need a safik nimuach, then that itself would be a heter as well. So this is basically the shackle of a tariff.
Now,
okay, there is a tumul which is being kept quiet because of the fact that without an eitzah you can't start a tumul again. Well, the Rabbanim agreed pretty much to do. And I'll tell you with a little bit of pride. It started because from Kehillah, our Mashgiach was going around the store, started to test the water again. He started to test water. It's a year later. And he found there were copepod pods in some of the places in the water. So he didn't understand what the problem was. He got back to Yanki Lach, to Rav Yanki Lach, who was the expert who involved himself in the Metzius. And it seems that the company that uses the most popular type of under the sink or water main filter, under the sink filter, has a new improved filter. And the new improved filter does not get the copepods. The old ones did. And the new improved one does not. So he wrote them a letter. They promised to either start production of the old one again, or to get a ultra new improved version, which will get the copepods. Now, the water main generally works anyway. The stores that have the water main, because the water main, the water force, breaks up the copepods against the filter. The easy filter also works. Those two are still fine. The under the sink ones, I don't know, I can't say they don't work at all, but they don't work 100% satisfactorily. And for now, that there's no Eitzah, I don't know exactly the Shakla Vitari of why the decision was made to keep it quiet, but basically it was decided to keep it still. It's a relatively new development. It could be. And there's still the best thing to do is to buy an easy filter. It costs $20. And you put it on your sink. People complain they have to clean it all the time. All right, you know, it's doable. What you're cleaning are not really the copepods. You're drinking the copepods anyway. The eventually they break up and go through the whole of the. When you turn the water on it powerfully, they break up the copepods and you end up drinking it anyway. But you eat it in a way that's mutter. It's nimuach. It's nimuach. It's broken up and it's bottled in the water. Now what? It will be Muzik. Okay. Now let me just look at Sif Gimel, if you don't mind. Sif Gimel is the last Sif on Mayim. I want to finish it. It does not come up Halacha L'Maisa, but L'man Hashlama Sa'inyin, let's look at Sif Gimel. Hamisanein Mayim, Ayshar Mashkin, V'ayu Bay Toloim, Ayavchushim, Ayatushim. If you are sifting water, and the water does have insects, Afa Pishachazu L'Saychai, Asurim, Shekfar Pirshu. You have water in a keli. The insects are mutter. And you're sifting it, not for kashrus. You're allowed to drink it. But you're sifting it because, you want it to be cleaner. If they detach themselves from the water and attach themselves to the item that's being sifted, and then they fall back in, let's say you pour it through the Gemara, he gives examples. If you got mashka shederachli gadol by talah mekiyaitze ben, ein lesanerai biksamim v'kashim. They used to use kash, straw, as a filter, or splinters of wood as a filter. So don't do it belila at night, where you can't see what's going on. Because as you're pouring it, it may fall back into the keli. I can't picture in my mind exactly. I guess there was a receptacle. On top of it, there was a sieve straw, and you poured it, and it went down into the straw, and the chashash was, now you're not sifting it for the bugs, you're sifting it for the sand or whatever. So the chashash is, the insects which make it through, maybe they sat on the ksamim or the kash for a little while, they're pirshu, they became aser, then when they fall into the water, it's aser. Avamut l'san derech beget, but if you have a cheesecloth, that's mutai misanenesh, I lo yuchu lipal derech shamal techamashka, because that's going to keep them out. Same thing as I mentioned earlier, a person is permitted to pour it from one keli to another. So this is the chumrah here. Now the Aruch HaShulchan, again, to indicate how big a shaila this was b'zmanehem, the Aruch HaShulchan has an arichus on this. Those of you who learned Aruch HaShulchan know, usually each paragraph is a separate piece. It goes from Chav Zayin till and including Lamed Dalet. What? Aruch HaShulchan, Chav Zayin till Lamed Dalet and Pei Dalet. He has a big arichus on this din. Apparently it was very negaya to him. He says he doesn't understand what's going on here. I'm pouring it through straw, and I'm chayshish in those few seconds, it's going to go onto the cash and then go back in. And more than that, he says, belayla, b'yayim it's mutter. In those seconds that you could look at it, you're going to catch it by day, such a metzias, and you're going to catch it by yayim. So he doesn't understand the whole metzias of what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about here. And for that reason, he goes off into chidushim, in the original, in the Rambam, which is the source of this, a different shot.
Isn't that the
but Al-Kopanim, Baruch Hashem, this is not so negata, so I'm not gonna spend an arichas of time on it. But again, you see the shaila that was negata to the mayim. So this is the basic rules of the mayim. Next Sunday, in Yitzhak Hashem, regular time, we'll start with the vegetables.
We'll just start with hot water from the sink. The hot water from the sink.
What? Everything. He's talking about all insects. How do you know they didn't? I don't know if they knew or they didn't know. I don't know one way or the other. What I've read in the encyclopedia is that they exist in all fresh water. Anything that has a source of water, any flowing water, always has copepods unless it's a pH negative level. That's what I read.
Did you ever see that they break up by the time they get to the reservoir? In the reservoir, through the pipes, they break up at some point.
In the tank.
We see hole ones.
See hole ones.
We have pictures.
Missing antennas, nothing.
Very holy. I can make a picture. There's another argument originally. I originally got a letter from someone in the Environmental Protection Agency. I got a letter from him that says they're alive in all the pipes, that they survived the flooding. That they're alive. Now, being alive is a cooler. Because if they're alive, then it's possible that they're breeding in the caves, in the pipes. And I already say. And then, if we say that the sifting of that the reservoir sifts them out, and then they hear they're alive. Now, I got a manual that they give to people who check the water. You know, I don't want to license someone take the water sample. There it says clearly that the copepods are still alive in the water. However, all the Bakians say that's not so, that they never found a live one. Checking water and checking, they never found a live one. So I argue with them, maybe the live ones are strong enough to go against the current. They don't end up in our pipes, and they stay in their mains, and maybe we're only getting the dead ones. It seems it's not so, because they keep on checking, they never find live ones. It seems that they do die in the thing. So one of the things that started is bottled. The idea that maybe the Rishayu was in the water in our pipes, which the EPA claims appears not to be so. It may change. I didn't change anything first thing.
It's a long time for them to rewrite the manuals.
What?
It's been a long time to rewrite the manuals.
I said, well, they have no reason to. I don't think they care if it's alive or dead. And I don't even know why they spend. I guess they monitor it.
So we're being monitored.